Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today on the program. Believe it or not, it's Christmas season, at least Christmas at the Cathedral season. Our kind of annual conversation with Mark Consemius and Dan Goler, the music director for Christmas at Cathedral, coming up later in today's program. Renee Kranz will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Kelly Bartman with the first and second reading. Deacon John Devlin with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the sun of justice with its healing rays. The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, you know how one must imitate us. For we did not act in a disorderly way among you, nor did we eat food received free from anyone. On the contrary, in toil and drudgery, night and day we worked, so as not to burden any of you. Not that we do not have the right. Rather, we wanted to present ourselves as a model for you, so that you might imitate us. In fact, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat. We hear that some are conducting themselves among you in a disorderly way, by not keeping busy, but minding the business of others. Such people we instruct and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and to eat their own food. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will be not left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you are not to be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand. For I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Kranz.
The Catholic Daughters of the Americas, Court Holy Heart, invited Dr. Marcy Moran to speak about stress management and grief at their fall festival in Woonsocket. Programs like these are available through Catholic Family Services to help farmers and their families work through stressful seasons. To find out more about scheduling a program in your area, call 605-988-3775. Archbishop Jose H. Gomez of Los Angeles was elected to a 3-year term as president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops during the Bishops' Fall Assembly, General Assembly in Baltimore. The native of Mexico was chosen November 12th with 176 votes from a slate of 10 nominees. Archbishop Gomez is the first Latino to be elected president. He has served as conference vice president for the past 3 years, working alongside Cardinal Daniel N. DiNardo of Galveston, Houston, the outgoing president. His term as president begins when the assembly ends. An experimental program to address chronic homelessness is guiding people into permanent housing while saving millions of dollars in healthcare costs, the president of Catholic Charities USA told the U.S. bishops. Dominican Sister Donna Markham said November 13th, the third day of the bishop's Fall General Assembly, the agency's Healthy Housing Initiative is collaborating with diocesan Catholic Charities programs, parishes, local funders, the Catholic healthcare systems to deliver comprehensive services for homeless people. The program involves placing homeless people into stable housing and providing essential supportive services to reduce hospital readmissions while ensuring that basic needs are met. Auxiliary Bishop Robert E. Barron of Los Angeles did not just bemoan the fact many young people are leaving the Catholic Church. He said church leaders need to make it a priority to bring them back. The bishop, chairman of the Bishop's Committee on Evangelization and Catechesis, who is known for his website Word on Fire and for hosting the documentary series Catholicism, offered a five-step plan of sorts to bring the religiously unaffiliated, or nuns, back to the fold. He said, for starters, the church should lead with its social justice work, getting young people involved with caring for those in need, working in soup kitchens, prison ministries, and helping the homeless. Leaders can reinforce this by reiterating messages on social justice from Popes Leo XIII to Francis. From there, the church should promote its own writers and artists to show people the beauty of the Catholic faith, he said. Another key step, and he said he's been banging this drum for a long time, is to stop dumbing down the faith. The bishop who first brought up this issue of church exodus with the bishops at the spring meeting said young Catholics or those of any age should be able to articulate why they believe what they do. The U.S. bishops added their assent to a call to have St. Irenaeus declared a doctor of the church. The action came November 12th, the second day of their fall general meeting. St. Irenaeus was born sometime between AD 120 and 130 in Smyrna in Asia Minor. He was a disciple of St. Polycarp, who was himself a disciple of St. John the Apostle. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
You know, Renee, we spend a lot of time talking about saints these days.
I know we do.
Which is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Mark Enzemius and Dan Goler, the what should I use this year? The geniuses behind Christmas at Cathedral each year. I was telling you guys, this has kind of become a tradition, just like Christmas at Cathedral itself, doing the interview each year with the two of you, for me, has become part of my kind of Christmas preparation tradition. So,
Advent for the Advent.
Oh, yeah, right, right. It's great to have you both back with us for Catholic Views this morning. We're going to talk about this year's Christmas at Cathedral show. Mark, what's the theme this year, and where did that come from?
The theme this year, Jerry, first of all, thanks for having us on.
You bet.
I always appreciate talking to you about this because it continues our preparation for the production. This year's production is Light of the World, and it was inspired by the writings of John. The last few years, really been blessed to be inspired by Isaiah, 600 so years before the birth of Christ as he prophesied the birth. And then, we've had a variety of different looks at it. And this year we're going to take a look at it from somebody who was with Jesus, but not at the birth, and was with Mary, as we're told. You know, one of the last things Jesus did before he died on the cross was to say, woman, here's your son, here's your mother. And he took her into his own home. And so we would presume that John has a lot of reflection firsthand from Mary on the birth and the incarnation. And I think in particular, Dan has written some beautiful pieces over the years related to light and the hope that that brings and the hope that comes from the incarnation. And I think the most strongest reference to me is, light, of course, right? This great symbol, but the light comes into the darkness and the darkness will not overcome the light. It will not overcome it. That, to me, gives me such great hope. And we need hope in the world, right? We need hope every single day, and Christmas is all about that message of hope.
Yeah, I think, to me, that's a constant theme of Christmas at Cathedral, is that sense of hope that comes, if we take any time at all, to think about who Jesus Christ is in our life. I think that's what we get.
Yeah, I mean, the cathedral being the beacon of hope in our community, I think that Christmas at the Cathedral has done a really nice job of making it a sacred space where people from whatever religious or non-religious tradition that they may have or not have, it's a place where everybody can feel welcomed. There's a certain sort of sense of hospitality, and then there's a beauty in it that I think just moves us, brings us closer to God, and certainly during the holiday season gives us a time to reflect on why we celebrate Christmas, what it means, and it gives us, I think Christmas at the cathedral is a beautiful way to celebrate the season because it helps us all reflect on, it allows us to see us ourselves as a part of this Christmas story that sometimes we, you know verse and chapter and verse, you know, we know it by rote almost, but it's a way to rediscover it in a new way every year. And it is a message of hope. That is the central theme, I think, every year. If there is one thing that's got continuity from each different theme and the different narrators and the different songs, it's that people go away feeling inspired and renewed, their hope is renewed, knowing that, you know, Jesus has come and for them.
Christmas at the Cathedral is what we're talking about. This year's shows, Mark, are when?
They're the 19th to the 22nd, Jerry. So this is truly the preparation for Christmas.
Yeah, right.
Because it's not
right,
a
right
month
before,
ahead of time.
Almost right up against it this year, yeah.
Yeah, God bless Dan and his family. So involved, Heidi, the concertmaster. So grateful for that. And all of our performers, especially our volunteer performers in the choir. And just a tremendous sacrifice in their part. And they do it with such great joy. But all of us involved in the production are like, man, what a privilege, because this really, you know, we go into Christmas a little exhausted, but a lot joyful and for sure understanding the reason for the whole celebration.
And tickets are available, I believe, already, huh?
Yeah, tickets are available online. It's probably more and more people are going online. It's CCFESD, CCFESD. It's Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota. .org, CCFESD.org. You can call 988-3765, our office directly, or you, if you're in the Sioux Falls area, you can go to the Sioux Falls area Hy-Vee stores and get your tickets there as well.
And again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, and then Saturday, Sunday afternoon?
Correct. Six concerts, one on Thursday and Friday evenings, and then two concerts on Saturday and two on Sunday, the 22nd.
Yeah, awesome. I love this theme of light for all kinds of reasons. I think you know, one of the ways we know Jesus is light of the world, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the names that we kind of give him. I also think about light just in terms of it can be different because light comes at us from different directions, and there's maybe some shadows, there's maybe some different things we see because of the way the light is hitting something. I think if we take that in a sense philosophically, we can look at Christmas very differently every year just by the way the light is hitting us at that particular time in our life.
Absolutely. It's I tell people, sometimes I look at you, how in the world do you do this? How in the world do you come up with something different? And first of all, it's the Holy Spirit. You were kind of kidding about genius. It makes me kind of like, no. There's no genius here, but we pray instruments, and we pray that we're the stewards that, you know, God has given us gifts that we don't bury, that we multiply in all humbleness. But the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you, you know, comes at you wherever you need it at any given moment. And God knows, right, before we even ask. He does say ask, but even before we ask, he knows what it is we're asking. And that's maybe the light you're talking about, Jerry, coming at us different ways. The Christmas story you never get tired of thinking about. And Dan and I are privileged to be able to look at it from so many different angles and approaches. And I never thought we'd do it from 600 years before, and now we're doing it from, you know, roughly 30, 35 years later after it happened. It is so rich. So it came at John at a different time than it came at Isaiah, then a different time it came at Mary and Joseph, and of course, the shepherds, and there's all these different really important characters. And at any given time, we can probably relate to any one of them. And God's got something really beautiful and rich for us to experience in that. And so we really do want to invite any of the listeners out there, if you haven't been to Christmas at the Cathedral, come and come with an open heart, ready to receive. And come in a way to pray, but don't think of it as work. You know, I think prayer is connection, communication. Mm-hmm. Dan is really purposeful. He, as the music director, he actually puts a piece in there in the very beginning that really, the very practical side of, okay, I've parked the car, I can forget about it. You know, the kids are, they got, there's a babysitter there, or, you know, whatever, all those things are that are real important.
Take the big deep breath and...
Exactly. Yeah. Exhale. And after 3-4 minutes, you know, of this music, now you're ready to really receive. And in that, there's a beautiful story. And we have an actor, we're fortunate to work with Joe Obermuller, who plays the character of John. And Joe actually collaborated with Dan and I as part of the creative team this year. And Joe has got some rich reflections for people to think about.
Yeah, he does. It was interesting to talk about the way these things come together. When we, Joe played Isaiah last year in last year's show. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so we invited him to come back. I don't know. It's hard to keep track of all these different things. I was thinking there was Paul, then Isaiah, now there's John. Yeah. Anyways, but because we were thinking maybe we should step away from, you know, one of the Bible characters, you know, telling the story, because we've kind of done that 2 years in a row. But this year, I guess 30 years is the charm, man, because it was amazing to see Joe was like, oh, well, you know, my church, our pastor has gone through the book of John for the entire year. So he's like, oh, I really, because we throw out several different ideas and we're always thinking of new ideas and kind of, you know, pack things away. Oh, that's a good idea. Let's think about that for next
later.
Year. Exactly. Yeah. We have a lot of those things that come up while we're working on it each year.
Absolutely.
And so we had a couple different ideas and directions we could go. And when we mentioned John, you know, Joe's eyes lit up. He's like, oh, you know, he was really interested in that and really passionate about it. And that kind of really sparked Mark's interest. He's like, hey, you know, he's really excited about that. And then as Joe was looking at the various different scriptures and different passages that we looked at exploring from John's perspective, then Joe kind of stepped up and said, you know, if I'm going to be John, I really want to have a chance to kind of work through this and work it out on paper and think about it and talk through it and really make it very conversational in a way that it's not just, you know, a character of John reciting John's liturgy, you know, or his gospel message and his epistles and, you know, Revelation. We want John to really relate it as a personal account, a personal story, which is also, I would say, a different, if you've come in the last year or two or another year where you've seen, you know, a Bible character sort of tell the story, John's going to be different because John really does. Joe's done a beautiful job of working with Mark on the script to create a perspective that I think is really going to make the story come to life in a really meaningful way for people.
You know, and that the sense of timelessness, which I think is where we all hope to be in eternity, right? Mm-hmm. The timelessness right. of the story, it impacts all of us whenever we hear the story. So yeah, for John, it was 35 years maybe after it happened, or 30 years after it happened. For us, it's 2,000 years after it happened. Mm-hmm. I think that's a beautiful way for us to make that connection. So
yeah, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and it's timeless. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's full of joy and wonder and awe, you know, at God's extraordinary love. Just, it's absolutely amazing. And it's so personal.
Yeah.
To where? To everybody, uniquely personal and individual.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And it's a little bit, you know, hard for us from a, I'm going to use a secular term here, I suppose, marketing standpoint. Somebody might think, hey, I've been to Christmas Cathedral before, or I saw it on television, or whatever. It is different every year. Different theme, different perspective. Yeah, it's the incarnation, and that's what we're celebrating, unapologetically, the birth of Jesus Christ. However, these different perspectives and angles. I promise you, well, I should be promising maybe, but I really do.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, I guarantee, instead of promise. It's different. It's different from the year before, and you're in a different place than you were a year before, and you're going to enjoy it. Even if you enjoyed it in past years, you will for sure enjoy it again this year.
Dan, tell us a little bit about the music.
Sure. This year we have Scott Piper is going to be back. So it's always nice to have Scott, and he's doing some of your favorite songs, O Holy Night and God Bless Us Everyone, and some of the other classics that he's been kind of become famous for singing in his really beautifully tailored arrangements that we have for him to do, but also some newer things that he hasn't sung before. So that's always exciting as well. And then Jackie Stressman, who's an artist from, she's literally basically Disney princess. She's, I think, portrayed three different Disney princesses in various productions and things. And so she's from Orlando, just a wonderful artist. And so we're excited to have her for the first time. So she will be a new addition to this year's program that people will not have seen and heard Jackie sing before. She's fabulous. And so, you know, we have some really interesting new songs that we've found mm-hmm. along the theme of light in particular are kind of fun, and some ideas of different songs. Lauren Daigle's song, Light of the World, which probably I'm sure people have heard on the radio.
People will recognize that.
Yeah, they'll recognize recognize that. And so I thought, wow, you've been waiting for an opportunity to do a song like that. So Jackie's the perfect artist for that. Shelley Johnson's Noel, Light of the World, Barla Girl's Hallelujah, Light Has Come. You know, so those are three of the newer songs that all are hit right on the bullseye of that target of Light of the World. And then we have an original piece for the choir and orchestra to kick off the second half of the show as well, Your Light Has Come. So lots of different kinds of music. And even this year, the choir is going to have a featured piece, Jesus, Light of the World, classic, beautiful spiritual. I don't know that we've ever done sort of a traditional gospel spiritual before, but you're going to hear all different styles and kinds of music all celebrating Jesus, the Light of the World this year.
See, that's one of the things I like is that you do get such a great mix. I mean, you've got the orchestra there, so you have that kind of element, but you've got the Disney princess. I mean, that's a whole different element.
And Scott the opera star.
And you got Scott the opera star. So, you know, you're bringing a lot of...
And the actor.
Good for you to bring this all together, Dan.
It's challenging, but we like the variety, you know? I mean, again, you know, the Christmas story is different. You think about people everywhere in the world throughout over the last 2,000 years have celebrated this story and retold it. And we see ourselves in the story as we retell the story and revisit it and celebrate this season. And so I think that music is a beautiful way of doing that, to provide a sort of soundtrack. And I think just like, you know, smelling grandma's apple pie, you know, or whatever around the holidays, I think that music is the same thing. You can hear a song and it evokes a certain emotion and memory in a way that just other spoken words and other things don't necessarily do. So it is a beautiful way to celebrate and find hope in this season.
Yeah, and then you add in the space that you mentioned earlier, and there's something about that also, you know, just coming into that space takes you there as well.
It is. I mean, it's, you know, that's why we encourage people to come and see it in person. It's beautiful on television as well, but the experience of being there in person where the sound literally sort of, we say, embraces you. You hear it from every perspective. There's something beautifully rich and elegant and inspiring to look at everywhere in the cathedral, and particularly our St. Joseph's Cathedral, I believe, is somewhat unique in that there's a beautiful, you know, pastoral nativity scene. Every element of the story is retold visually up there on the top of the church, and in addition to with the actors and the musicians and all that as well.
Yeah.
Jerry, I do want to say that there's 18 musical pieces. 10 of them are new, never been performed at Christmas at the cathedral, and there are three different times in here as we're going through the script, because the story really drives the music selections. And it's like, oh, we just can't find something. And Dan's like, well, okay, I'll compose one.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Just write that. So there are three.
Just go for it.
three songs that are actually new songs that Dan has composed, and then he's arranged all of it. So it really is tailored just for this unique production. So it's almost like a new musical every year. Brand new musical, from beginning to end. And I would like to add, I just got off a video call with Jackie Stressman, and we had a really nice conversation. And Jackie is so excited to be a part of this for a bunch of reasons. But one of them is because this is also a opportunity to benefit the vulnerable and the homeless in two beacons of hope. One is so they're for endowments, all the proceeds. And they're significant proceeds because thanks to our generous sponsors, our presenting sponsors. I do want to say real quick is Avera, David R. Billion, First Premier Bank, Premier Bank Card, and Hy-Vee. And then we have many other sponsors that help out. And so the proceeds then go to endowments for the ongoing care and maintenance of the cathedral structure as a civic and sacred landmark for the people of our region, but also for the Bishop Dudley Hospitality House, which is a beacon of hope for the homeless. And it's a 24/7 shelter, emergency shelter. So nobody, especially just think about the middle of the winter. I think about Mary and Joseph being homeless and she's pregnant. We have this Mary and Joseph's in our community today, and there's a place that they can go and be safe and secure, and that's the Bishop Dudley House. So also the proceeds also go to the Dudley House.
Yeah.
And Jackie's family, she comes from a musical family. She was telling me the stories. Grew up in California, and her parents had a prison ministry, and they would go in and sing in the prisons. And every once in a while, mom and dad would take the kids. And so she has sung in the prisons, and she was just so excited to know about the Dudley House and the
charitable aspect. Yeah, she gets it. She gets the ministry side of it. Just a couple of minutes left this morning, guys. This gone so fast talking about this. What do you want to make sure each of you maybe? What do you want to make sure people know and reason why they might maybe should come?
I think because it's an opportunity for them to share with, hopefully with the people they love, to come and experience this message of hope together. I think that there's no better way to sort of inaugurate your Christmas season than to come and celebrate with the people you love and to just give yourselves this opportunity to sit and listen and look at all of the beautiful things that will happen at each of these six performances. I think it's a gift to our community, and it's one of these opportunities that it's a unique opportunity you have to share that with your loved ones and your friends and other people, or maybe you know someone, maybe it's a coworker or a neighbor, somebody that you know needs to be encouraged this holiday season. Yeah. We try very hard in what we put together in each program to make sure that that's the message that people take away.
Great gift for somebody.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
And it's a sign of hope in our community that we can gather regardless of our denomination, regardless of our differences that we have, economic or whatever those differences are, political, whatever. This is one time we all come together to celebrate the birth of Christ. And to remember, it wasn't just a story. This is a very real thing that has happened and continues to happen in our lives. Christ loves you so much that he came, and the birth was for a reason. And John talks about why he came. He came to die for us and to rise for everlasting life.
Christmas at the Cathedral, the theme this year, Light of the World, featuring the writings of John and the character of John, played by Joel Obermueller. I can't say that.
Obermueller.
Thank you so much. I don't know why that's so hard, but it is. And the dates again for the shows this year, 19th through the 22nd, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. And if you need tickets, you do need tickets, get them at ccfesd.org, or you can call 605-988-3765. Guys, it's going to be a great show.
Always great to be with you.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
God bless.
Renee, as we ended the news, we mentioned saints, and the saint blog is rolling along.
It is, and we have a new one up about Saint Peregrine, who is the patron saint of cancer patients.
Boy, can everyone relate to that.
Yes.
I think all of us know somebody who's struggling with that terrible word.
Yes, so, and there are a lot more saints up there, so take a look at them if you've missed any.
Find them where?
At sfcatholic.org/saints.
All right, very good. And this next week, a week from now, the end of the church year already.
Yes.
Which means that 2 weeks from now,
Advent.
So get your calendars organized and be ready for what's to come. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back with you next Sunday.